Let's go to the book of Joshua tonight and continue our study there. Joshua chapter 7 this evening. Joshua chapter 7, a message entitled Achan's Sin. Achan's Sin. Last time in chapter 6, we discovered a lot of lessons from the battle at Jericho. God's ability to deliver your enemy into your hands does not in any way depend on your weakness or your strength, nor the enemy's weakness or their strength. Seems like the day of saying, it's not us, it's the Lord. He's in control. He gives the power. He enables us to do what we ought to do. God has a plan and He has a timetable. And to ensure our success, we have to forsake our plans and we have to adopt His plan, make it ours, and be patient. Victory will come. God will give us success, but we don't want to get weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing right. And there'll be a payday someday. There'll be a harvest because we're planting a lot of seeds. Not everybody plays the same role in the battles fought for the Lord. And God is merciful, giving every opportunity to confess our sins. He wants to forgive us. He wants to forgive the lost. He wants them to be saved and to receive His forgiveness. So all of those things we see exemplified in the chapter 6 in the battle at Jericho. So what might we learn tonight in chapter 7? Achan's sin, verse 1, chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. So they've committed a trespass, verse 1 tells us. A trespass. They've done something they shouldn't have done. And we're about to see how one person's sin can cripple a nation. It can cripple a church. It can cripple a family. It can destroy an individual. One person's sin. Now listen, this is an important lesson. We're a church. One person's sin can get in the way of what God wants to do at Corinth Baptist Church. For the individual, sin works like cancer. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. It'll destroy your life. You have to deal with sin. It'll destroy your life. It works like a cancer. It steals away our joy. It ruins our testimony. It destroys our fellowship. Not only with the brethren, but destroys our fellowship with God. For the family, it destroys the unity of a family when there's sin in the family. For a business, it ruins our productivity, especially us believers. Nationally, sin deteriorates the foundation of our nation. In the church, oh, it wreaks havoc. It corrupts our testimony, our effectiveness. We won't accomplish anything. With sin in the camp, it closes the windows of God's blessing. It hinders spiritual and numerical growth. It dampens the spirit of worship. It limits our opportunities. It quenches our zeal. Sin will destroy us as a church. How many people have to be involved? Only one. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? It's convicting. I better stay right. I don't want to be the one that causes that type of issue here at Corinth Baptist Church. And I trust that you don't as well. God's instruction has always been that when sin is apparent, that it's dealt with. Is that right? You deal with sin. You don't ignore it. God won't ignore it. God can't ignore it. He's just. He's holy. We can't ignore it because our God can't ignore it. And He says when there's sin in our lives, in an individual's life, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's how we deal with it on an individual basis. Confess it. Confess it and forsake it before God. Don't hold on to it. In the lives of our brethren, the Bible says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It's the same message, isn't it? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Sin has to be dealt with. What exactly was this sin? Well, we know who it is. It's Achan, right? We read this before. Achan has taken of the accursed thing. Remember, and well, flip back, chapter 6, verse 18, and let's just remind ourselves of Joshua's last words before the city of Jericho fell. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Accursed means it's appointed for destruction. Accursed. Don't mess with the accursed thing, Joshua told them. So, here's a biblical example of the principles of dealing with sin. They're going to do it right here in Israel. And first, we'll see how this sin was discovered in verse 2. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. They returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let all about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. Verse 4, so there went up thither of the men, or the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them 36 men. That means they killed them. For they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now, I hope as you read these Old Testament stories, you try to think about what it would have been like there. You just saw the great victory at Jericho. The walls fell flat. It was easy. It was easy. And they were victorious, and they think to themselves, okay, Ai is just a little town. Oh, it won't take many people there. Send 2,000 or 3,000 up, and we'll have no problem at Ai. And here they come back. 36 men fell in the path, coming back down to the camp, and the people's hearts are just melted. What happened? Who do you think they're thinking about right now? What happened? Who are they thinking about? Why did the Lord let this happen? That's what they're thinking. God is our refuge and strength. God is the one who gives us the victory. He's the one that told us to do this. This battle is His. Lord, why? That's what they're thinking. Ai is about 10 or 12 miles to the northwest of Jericho. It's up on the mountain. They fled before the men of Ai. The Canaanites were not any stronger, by the way, but the Israelites were much weaker. Why? In a word, sin. That's what happened, sin. 36 men, they had done no wrong. Their families had done no wrong. Their nation had done no wrong. At least, not in terms of sins of commission, doing something wrong. But did you notice when they went to Jericho, God gave them a plan. He said, I want you to go in the first day, march around. Go in the second and through the sixth, march around one time and come back to camp. On the seventh day, march around seven times, blow the trumpets and shout and the walls will fall. I said it faster than Joshua did. Did you notice? Who gave instruction about Ai? Did you read how the Lord told them to take Ai? Not there, is it? The silence of the scripture screams here. Whose instruction was it? Well, it was the instruction of the spies. They came back and said, it won't take everybody. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 up there. We won't have any problem. They'll take it and come back to camp. So they followed the Lord's plan first. They followed the spies' plan. as they went to Ai, and it cost them. There's no record anywhere of them consulting the Lord in this matter. How much trouble and heartache would be spared if we consulted the Lord first? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and what? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Talk to the Lord about it first, and He shall direct thy paths. They didn't do that. In James, you're familiar with chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain. You familiar with the passage? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, do you remember those next words? If the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You need to take your plans to the Lord. We're going to have a business meeting on Wednesday. We need to take our plans to the Lord first. And trust Him to guide us when we come together on Wednesday. This is not just, it's not up to us, right? None of this is up to us. It's up to the Lord. We take our plans to Him and say, Lord, here's what we see that we believe needs to be done. What do you think of this? And we trust Him to guide us because He said He would. Verse 6 says, and Joshua rent his clothes and he fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. And the elders of Israel... He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their head. That was the usual response to this great affliction, this great distress that they would have experienced here. And everybody wonders why. And Joshua and the elders fall on their face before the Lord. Joshua said in verse 7, alas, O Lord, can you hear him praying? Out loud above all the elders, alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Do you like that prayer? Almost sounds like he's accusing the Lord, doesn't it? Well, the Lord's listening. He says, would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan. Come on, Joshua, you can do better than this, we think. Verse 8, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites of all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. In other words, they're going to surround us and take us. They're going to destroy us. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up. Do you see it? He said, Joshua, get up. Wherefore liest thou there upon your face? I like the way the Lord responded to Joshua's prayer. Don't you? Get up, Joshua. Joshua's prayer. Alas, O Lord, notice that Joshua's concern wasn't a selfish one, though. I'll give him that. In verse 8, he's concerned about what the people are going to think. The people of Israel, how the people would respond to God given these circumstances that they find themselves in. In verse 9, he's concerned about the name of the Lord, about God's testimony. And he does pray those things, though I don't like his choice of words. But his thoughts were interrupted, and the Lord said, get up, Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? As if to say, Joshua, this is not a question of my faithfulness. There's sin in the camp. You say, well, where did you get that? In the next verse, actually. Don't just lie there. Go find out who sinned. Verse 11, Israel has sinned, the Lord told Joshua, and they have also transgressed my covenant. They broke their end of the bargain, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled. That means they lied about it. They denied it and lied about it. And they have even put it even among their own stuff. stuff. They use that word in the Bible too. Israel hath sinned. They've transgressed my covenant. God wouldn't forsake Israel, right? Israel has forsaken God. And brothers and sisters, if we don't have God's blessing on Corinth Baptist Church, it won't be God's fault. It'll be ours. See, we really need to take these lessons of the Old Testament to heart. If God's not blessing us, there's a reason why. It's not that he doesn't want to. Maybe there's sin in the camp. Do you believe in hidden sin? God doesn't. God says, be sure your sin will find you out. And he meant that. The Lord speaks to his disciples of those who would reject their ministry in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. He says, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. There's no such thing as hidden sin. It's all going to come out. Does that scare you at all? All sin will come out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before the enemy, but they turned their backs before their enemy because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. This is easy to understand, isn't it? They're accursed. Again, chapter 6, verse 18, keep yourself from the accursed thing lest you be accursed. When you take it for yourself. And it happened just like Joshua warned them. And when they stood before Ai, can you imagine those 2,000-3,000 men going up to Ai? Oh, they went up there with every intention of making quick work of Ai and coming back down to Gilgal and celebrating with their families. 36 men didn't come back. Can you imagine as they approached the gate with all this zeal for the Lord and they started falling? The men of Ai got the upper hand and their morale just went out the door. It was gone. Can you imagine how they, what must they be thinking? They marched boldly to the gate and their confidence was dissolved immediately. Why? Because they realized the Lord is not with us. The Lord's not with us. Let's get out of here. Verse 12, neither will I be with you anymore except ye destroy the accursed thing. God prescribed the way of dealing with sin. He wants them to follow through. The sin had to be eliminated. What if you were driving out the country roads out here somewhere around in this beautiful part of the year? To see the foliage of the leaves and all of a sudden you realize there's a rattlesnake in your car. Would you panic? And you would say, well, it went under the seat. I guess I'm okay now. Right? And you just go on until you got home and you tell your husband about it. Right, lady? No way. You'd be out of that car so fast you'd break the doors off getting out of it. You would be out of that car and what would your desire be? Get that thing out of here. I know you don't have rattlesnakes. Maybe not a good main illustration, but if it were the case, what would you do? You'd get it out. Why? Because you know it could cause you harm. That's how sin is. You know it could cause you harm. So the Lord instructed Joshua in verse 13. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to family thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the households which the Lord shall take shall come man by man, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Verse 16, Joshua rose up in the morning. He brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Tribe of Judah was taken. Verse 17, and he brought the families of Judah and took the family of the Zarahites. And he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Camri, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned. I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. So Achan was taken. No rhyme there intended. How was he taken? How was this performed? The priest had a garment, and on it had the stones, the 12 stones, and the Urim and the Thummim were two stones on there. And they were brilliant stones. And it has been reported that when a guilty party entered into the presence where those stones were, they lost their luster. We also know that in the scriptures there was the casting of lots, quite often. You remember that from Old and New Testament, the casting of lots. Sort of like our drawing of straws. It was similar to when Samuel was to choose out Saul from among the children of Israel. And he took the tribe first, and then the family, and then Saul was taken. And it's spelled out exactly like this in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Imagine Achan's thought, though, as his tribe was chosen by God. God points out, it's Judah. It's the family of the Zerahites. It's Zabdi's family, and they come man by man. And it's narrowing and narrowing and narrowing. And can you imagine when it's time for Achan to step up before the people, the elders of Israel? And he says, indeed, I have sinned. His confession. He probably knew at this point he had forfeited life. But the confession put Joshua at ease. Now he knows he's gotten to the root of the problem. It would edify the people. It would vindicate the righteousness of God's judgment up in Ai. And it would humble Achan. He would be humbled before the Lord. Maybe he would get right with the Lord before his death. Achan describes what came over him in verse 21. When I saw among the spoils of the goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver is under it, a little deeper. I like this phrase or this verse, verse 21, because it's very revealing for us. Notice, I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. Does it remind you of anything? Like the Garden of Eden, maybe? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eye and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took and did eat and gave to her husband. I saw, I coveted, I took, and she would say, I ate. James said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When what has conceived? When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Where did Achan's sin start? In his own mind and heart, right? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I wonder about us, really. I wonder if there's a hidden secret sin among us or in us. Bitterness, envy, lying, lusts, pride. You see, these sins will hold us back. God won't bless us while there's sin in the camp. Where's this evidence of Achan's sin? Well, it's buried under his tent, hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent. This stuff made Achan himself accursed, as also would be written in the law in Deuteronomy. Listen to this. This is interesting. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. That's in the law of Moses. Where did Achan hope to wear a Babylonian garment? Achan, where's your brain here, man? Why are you taking this? Where would you ever use it? So it is with all the treasures that fulfill the lust of our flesh. When they're obtained, they become a burden to our heart. We will wish only to get rid of them. Oh, I wish I could just get rid of it. Just get rid of the evidence. Undo what's been done. Verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. They laid them out before the Lord. Lord, here it is. Here's the accursed thing. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Troubling little passage. Sons and daughters. Were his children stoned and burned? Or were they just brought out to the valley of Achor to be witnesses of what would happen to their father? I'm thankful for Deuteronomy 24:16. It says, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the father. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So where does that leave us? If his children were not accomplices, I don't think they were stoned. If they were accomplices, I think we could say safely that they were stoned. And there's debate about whether it is or is not. We don't really know. It would have been very hard, I believe, for Achan to go home to his tent and dig a big hole in the middle and plant those things and nobody know it. Maybe they were all accomplices. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little sin in your family will destroy your family. It'll affect your wife or your husband or your children. It'll affect everybody. A little sin. Either way, it was here, one man's sin had already caused the death of 36 people. 36 men were killed. Probably young men, probably family men. They didn't come home. Their corpses were carried home to their grieving wives and children. Why? Why? In a word, sin. Sin. And Joshua told him, the Lord shall trouble thee this day. Rahab's faith, remember, it saved her whole family. Achan's sin destroyed his. I could say, how about you, sir, ma'am, son? daughter. What a story. Heart-wrenching if you really get into this and think about what happened. So there are a lot of lessons here in this chapter 7. Much trouble and heartache would be spared if we took our plans to the Lord first before we decided to conduct them. Your sins affect you. They affect your family, your employment, your nation, your body. The body of Christ here at Corinth Baptist Church. Sins of commission, that means something I do. And sins of omission are something I don't do that I ought to do. Sins of omission. There's no such thing as a hidden sin, at least not as far as God is concerned. The act of sin is a progression. You know, I lusted after it, I coveted it, I took it, I hid it. The progression that's there starts in our hearts. That's the best time to quench it, while it's in the heart. Then it's between you and the Lord, and you just confess it and forsake it. When we play with the accursed thing, we become accursed. When the treasure that fulfill the lust of our flesh are obtained, they become a burden to our hearts. It's true. I can tell you from experience, it's true. And when the treasure that fulfills these lusts and is a burden to our heart, all we want to do with it then is just, I wish I'd never saw that. I wish I had never seen those things. Lastly, God's people are commanded to actively deal with sin. A little leaven, leaven at the whole lump. The method of dealing with sin is prescribed by God. For every situation, we look for the instruction in the Word of God. Like at Corinth, remember the first century Corinth, there was incest. And Paul told them in 1 Corinthians, you need to deal with this. And they did. And in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, he tells them, okay, now forgive him because he was restored. The goal, restoration. Get the sin out of the camp. Our goal in this day is restoration. We won't stone anybody and burn them with fire and heap a pile of stones on them. We'll forgive them. And you know what we'll do? We'll rejoice that they've been made right before the Lord and they've been restored. That's our goal. We need to talk about that occasionally because there are some people outside of our church who used to be inside our church. You remember? One family in particular that we've exercised church discipline toward. What's our goal? We need to be reminded our goal is to restore. That's what we want, right? We want them walking with the Lord and we want them in fellowship with our God. It doesn't matter if they come to church here or not, but if they did, it would be okay. We want them to be in fellowship with us as well. That's the goal. And we don't want to lose sight of that ever. Ever, until the Lord comes back, until we're all dead and gone. Never lose sight of the goal. Many wonderful lessons in the book of Joshua. A lot of wonderful lessons there. I trust that this has been a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the night, for the opportunity again to share the Word of God. Lord, I don't want to take for granted what a privilege it is to stand before the people and say, thus saith the Lord. I, Lord, am so thankful for your grace and your mercy. I pray tonight, Father, that as we think of Achan and the sin and the great price that was paid, and Lord, that we might do some self-examination. I pray that we would be bold enough, Lord, to confess our sins. If they're private, to confess them with you. If they're public, to confess them publicly. To deal with it and be restored completely to fellowship with you. Fellowship with each other. Father, it's my desire that Corinth Baptist Church grow. That you be glorified here. And Lord, I know me enough to know that I have to keep short of counts. Lord, I know that we're all made of the same stuff. We still have this body of flesh. We all still sin. And so, Lord, help us to confess our sins and to forsake them. Help us not to allow them to destroy us as individuals or our families or our church, to keep us from reaching out to our nation and the world. Father, I pray that this is one of those messages will not go away and be forgetful hearers. Help us to examine our hearts and do what you lead us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.